Okay, so let's try this. Christos tsanav yevhaidnetsav. Okay, we're getting it. Okay, let's do it one more time. This time, this half of the room is going to say, Christos, you'll say this, and then you get the next slide. Okay, ready? Go. I think we're going to try that one more time. I think we need a little bit more from here. You were a little bit, okay. Let's see if we can go back. There we go. One more time. Loudly, please, here. Christos. Okay, so Christos tsanav yevhaidnetsav, Christ is born and Christ is revealed. Tzezi mezi medzavidis, to you and to us, great joy, great joy. Growing up, I grew up in San Francisco, and I like to say I was, even though I'm Armenian, I was raised Jewish. All my best friends were Jewish, and I would go to their houses, I'd feel absolutely at home. They would come to ours, felt absolutely at home. Even when I moved to Boston years ago, one of my first friends was Garrett, a Jews for Jesus missionary. And we began to describe our childhoods. It's like, good grief. Either you're Armenian or I'm Jewish. I'm not sure which one it is. And we would laugh at each other. It's like, he'd say, you're Armenian, but I think you're Jewish. And I don't know about you, but I feel that there is a connection, or many of us at least feel a connection, that the Jews are the chosen people from the Old Testament, and I don't know if it was just my family or not, but we sort of felt like the Armenians were the chosen people, first Christian nation. We're the first Christian, so we're the chosen people of the New Testament. Don't try to prove that from your Bible. But when I read a passage like what Alexandra just read, ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth, ask from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything so great as this ever happened? See, when I read that, I think, well, actually, maybe it was a little bit before the army. They're just like us. They're just like us. They had a Holocaust or a genocide, and so have we. We know what it's like, these two nations, not uniquely, but from our exposure frequently, those of us here in the United States, there's a feeling of we're two peoples who have experienced similar things. Jews, when they're raised, they're taught that they are other. They are different from their neighbors, and no one else is like them. And Armenians frequently are raised in thinking that we are other and the rest of the world are odar. Okay, if you're Jewish, the rest of the world is the goyim. For us, the rest of the world is odar. And we have this separation idea. My Jewish friends, we talked, you know, they had to marry someone who was Jewish. And depending on your Armenian family, you've heard the saying, oh, no, you got to marry someone who's Armenian or you're letting down the entire race. Can you imagine the pressure that's on us? Our whole people, it rises or falls on whether someone seriously? Not true. Not true. But there is this sense of our two peoples are very, very similar. And so when I read this passage, has anything so great as this ever happened, or has anything like it ever been heard of? I say, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, true, we've read through it. There's no nation that had a God come and rescue them from slavery like the living God Yahweh did for the people of Israel out of Egypt. No other nation was led by a pillar of cloud and fire through the desert. No other nation was given a land clearing them out by the power of God. No other nation had a God speak to them the truth, the living word of God. No other nation had that. So yes, Moses' rhetorical question is, of course not. There's no one, there's no other people who's heard the voice of God speaking out of the fire and lived. No other God ever took for himself a nation from another by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds, like all the things the Lord Yahweh your God did for you in Egypt and before your eyes. That no one else, no one else. But on Armenian Christmas, I also want to say the gospel's for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. And while Armenians may have been the first nation to receive Christ nationally, it's for everyone. So while the Jews were unique in the Old Testament as the nation that God called out, in Christ, that chosenness got spread to anyone who would believe. So the gospel is for everyone. So no, it never happened before. Nothing so great has ever happened. And their example is very important for us, because only the living, one true God can rescue human beings and make them his own people. The testimony of the Old Testament, the testimony of the Exodus through Numbers, through Deuteronomy, through the entire Hebrew Scriptures, is that only the living God can rescue human beings and make them his own. But it's not just limited to the Jews. It's not just limited to the people of Israel. But before we get to that, did you notice, as Alexandra read in verse 35, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Yahweh is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the fire. See, he rescued them, and we've got to make sure we are able to answer the question, why? Why did God do this? Why did he take this people, a group of slaves, rescue them from slavery, give them a land, speak to them his word? Why did he do that? Well, so they would know that the one true God is the Lord. There's a lot of different things we can worship, isn't there? Lots of religions that we might be able to pick and choose from, and maybe take a little bit of here, take a little bit there, take a little bit for, and we could amalgam them together and say, okay, now this is what we're going to worship. That's what they did with the calf. And remember, they brought all these things together. They made this calf and then they worshiped. We saw last time that Balaam, while he couldn't curse them, he got them to worship other gods and brought in immorality that was just shameful, and God brought judgment. But the goal of all that God has done with Israel thus far that we've been looking at the whole last quarter of last year is so that the people of Israel and we too would know that there is one true God and his name is Yahweh. Or as my mentor used to say, there is one true God and his name is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Again, Armenian Christmas, we're celebrating one more time, just in case you didn't get it, through Advent, there is one light of the world. His name is Jesus. And yes, he came to save his people from their sin, and there was no question that when Joseph and Mary heard it, they were thinking, People of Israel, people of Israel, people of Israel. There's one God. Yahweh is how he revealed himself in the Old Testament. We now know that he takes the name Jesus because he saves his people from their sin. There's one more answer to the question why. Not only did he want them to make sure they knew who the real God was. It says, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you on earth and showed you his great fire. You heard his words from the fire because he loved your ancestors. Because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you and to bring you into their land to give it to you for an inheritance as it is today. God made a promise to Abraham. So I'm going to give you this. Is anyone reading the Bible plan that I laid out last week? If you did, today was the reading of God's promise to Abraham. And don't worry, you can catch up, because remember, you get 5 free days at the end of the month. So don't miss that. The Bible reading plans are in the back. But I want you to think about this for a second. God made a promise to Abraham because Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him that he would be righteous before him. And he kept the promise to Isaac. He kept the promise to Jacob. He kept it through the 12 tribes. He kept it throughout their history. And he fulfills the promise ultimately in Jesus. John 3:16 is not simply something that's seen by the goalposts of football games. God loved the world. He so loved the world. He loved the world in this way that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that we might not perish, but have eternal, have everlasting life. God loved Israel. He kept his promise. God loves you. And see, only God can rescue human beings and make them his people. Again, the example is Israel, but then it's you that he's after. It's me that he's after. Only God can forgive sin. Only God could find a way to free us from our sin. Christos sanav yevhaid netzav, tzezi mezi medz avidis. It's great news. It's big news. Please read with me Romans 1:16. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Can we do that one more time, please? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Do you get the sequence of salvation history? God has showed us. He rescues his people. He fulfills his promise. He wants them to know that there is only one true God. It's not just tribal. It's not just regional. It's not just geographic. One true God who created the heavens and the earth, and he takes a people for himself. First to the Jew, but then who gets included? The rest of us. The rest of us. I have a question for you. You may not have grown up with Jews. You may have actually grown up in the Middle East, where it's actually a really hard thing to hear the word Jew without having some sort of hatred or anger well up within you. Either way, God is faithful to his word. He's calling out a people for himself. Starts with the Jews. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone. First question is, Has it brought salvation to you? Have you experienced and received the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ? Nice to have the little nativity here, the Messiah here, the little baby Jesus. He's not a baby anymore. He is the crucified, risen Savior who has sent his Spirit and whose arms are extended to every one of us, offering his grace, offering forgiveness, offering to blot out everything that you've done, that you've said, that you've even thought. All of it, even the one that you hope no one knows about, God knows, and he offered his Son, his only Son, that we might know forgiveness, but not just to be forgiven, but to be transformed, to become like his Son. See, this is a beautiful verse. It's how the book of Romans starts. But if you're to read Romans, if you're to study the book of Romans, you realize that God's heart is for our forgiveness, but it's for our transformation. And ultimately, for our glorification, that there will be a day when Jesus returns that we are going to be made just like him. Bodies that won't decay, no sickness, no tears, no pain, nothing. That's where we're going. That's the hope of eternal life. That's the promise of the gospel. And it's for anyone and everyone who will believe. So, first question is to you, do you believe? When you answer that, tell them, I believe. Do you believe? The second question, and I continually ask this of you, who do you know, whom you need to ask, do you believe the gospel? You have friends, you have neighbors, you have family members, you have people that you are going to run into throughout the course of this next year who do not know that there is one true God, who do not know that his name is Jesus, and who do not know that he loves them. There are so many mixed messages that come from the people of God, from churches, from people who claim to be followers of Jesus. So many mixed messages. Through your life and through your mouth, whom do you need to share the gospel with? Someone told me recently, he said, Bodvili, years ago, we're talking like in the first run in the 90s, years ago, you asked us to write down three names of people that we would pray for and ultimately share the gospel with. And she said, you know what? I just realized that several of them have come to faith and they now know Christ. Would you please turn over to the back of your bulletin? Who are three people in your life right now? God may add more. Be open to that. But who are three people in your life right now that God may want to share the gospel through you? This is someone you can be praying for, someone that you might be willing to open your mouth to explain your behavior, so they might know that Jesus Christ was born, that Jesus Christ died to pay the price for their sins, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he offers forgiveness. He offers salvation to whom? Everyone who believes. Take a moment and write it down. And if you don't have your pen with you, okay, family members, hold each other accountable. Tonight, ask each other, what names did you write down? And ask to join them in prayer. See, the people of Israel were rescued from slavery. They became the people of God so that they would know that there's one true God. They would know that God loves them. See, that is, how do we say it? Say it with me. Tzezi, mezi, medz avedis. This is great news. Take it for yourself first. This is what we're going to celebrate right now as we share in communion. Great news that the gospel brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. I just wanted to make this a little bit larger. Those of you who read Armenian, isn't that beautiful? Christos Zanav Yev Haidnetsav. Why don't we leave that up during communion? I'd like to invite those who will be sharing the communion with us. Please come forward. And as they prepare to come forward, I want you to know that this table is for everyone who believes. This table celebrates the gospel of Jesus Christ. It celebrates the fact that God has given his Son, and he didn't just promise it. Jesus didn't just show up as some sort of ghost. He was a human being, the God-man, who took on flesh. That's why we take the bread, because Jesus said, "This is my body given for you." His flesh was not just a garment on, again, some sort of spirit. Flesh and blood. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins.